I want to encourage you to take your Bibles, please, and turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And we're going to be focusing, beginning at verse 11, on a wall that our Lord tore down. A fence that He tore down. And next week, we're going to finish our series in this particular theme. And we're going to look at the curtain, that wall that separated the holy place from the holy of holies, and how the Lord tore that down and what that means for us. But tonight we're going to be looking at a middle wall of partition in Ephesians chapter 2. And I'm going to be reading from J.B. Phillips' translation. I want you to follow along in your Bibles, beginning at verse 11, where the Apostle Paul is speaking to the Gentiles and is telling them what Jesus Christ has accomplished for them in tearing down a fence that separated them from the Jews. And specifically in light of the fact that the Jews were given the Old Testament scriptures, the Gentiles were not given that. The covenants were given to the Jews. One of them, we could argue, involves the Gentiles because of the blessing that we're told that Israel will be to the Gentiles. But basically, the covenants were given to Israel. They were given to the leaders of Israel. And Paul makes a very clear statement by pen of inspiration that we need to understand and know tonight, beginning at verse 11. Do not lose sight of the fact that you were born Gentiles, known by those whose bodies were circumcised as the uncircumcised. You were without Christ. You were utter strangers to God's chosen community, the Jews, and you had no knowledge of or right to the promised agreements. You had nothing to look forward to and no God to whom you could turn. But now, through the blood of Christ, you who were once outside the pale are with us inside the circle of God's love and purpose. For Christ is our living peace. He has made a unity of the conflicting elements of Jew and Gentile by breaking down, now get this, the fence, the barrier, which lay between us. By His sacrifice, He removed the hostility of the law with all its commandments and rules and made it in Himself out of the two, Jew and Gentile, one new man, thus producing peace. That's significant. He produced peace. There's no longer a need for conflict between Jew and Gentile, and yet in this world, there still is. Tremendous hatred between Gentile and Jew. And yet in Jesus Christ, we know that there's no need for that. It was answered by the cross. For He reconciled both to God by the sacrifice of one body on the cross, and by this act made utterly irrelevant the antagonism between them. Then He came and told both you who were far from God and us who were near that the war was over. And it is through Him that both of us now can approach the Father in the one Spirit. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank You so much for the testimony of Your word. I am so thankful tonight for Jesus Christ, who has taken down the barrier that what separated us because it was needful to show the world that we are sinners, that we are without law, that we are lawless. And I'm so thankful that Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary forever settled the question of the need of righteousness and the supplying of it for lost sinners. I pray that You would help us to see this fence torn down tonight, and I pray that You would encourage Your saints, for I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to very quickly tonight just kind of walk you through this passage of Scripture here in Ephesians chapter 2. It says, he basically cries out to the Gentiles that were reading his letter, and he says to them, I want you to remember what you were. Apart from Christ, you were outside. I was talking with one of the teachers this week. We were in the office and we were talking about what it was like growing up in the South. and we're of similar age. And she was saying, you know, during the summertime, Mom and Dad told us to go outside and you can't come back in. You weren't allowed to come back inside. You stayed outside and you played. Because if you came back to the door, you had to be basically stripped of your clothing, washed off at the door, wiped down, and then you could come in the house, because we ran around barefoot growing up. You could do that here in the South. And our feet were just as tough as they could be. I don't remember a whole lot about wearing shoes during the summertime. We ran around barefoot and played, dug holes and in the ground, in the garden, and did all kinds of things other than the work that we had to do as well, picking peas and shelling them and getting them ready for canning. But we were talking about remembering what it was like and how so many kids today rarely go outside. They're not able, and we were remembering what it was like growing up and how it impacted our lives today. I like being outside. I get up from my desk and I will go out and I walk around the building, or I'll walk down to the ballpark, or I'll walk just to get outside. That's good to be outside. And our Lord says, remember when you were outside as Gentiles. The Jews were God's chosen people. And to them he gave his Old Testament scriptures. To them he gave the covenants. To them he gave the promises. And we have no record of the Gentiles singled out for any promises or covenants. Their blessings were all tied to one nation, and that was Israel. But then God did something that really had not been prophesied before, and that was to create a new creation, an organism. It's alive. It's called the body of Christ. And what he did is he took rich and poor. He took male, female. He took Jew and Gentile. And from all people groups in the world, he chose to break down this barrier that was there in this sense, that now we don't have to become a proselyte Jew. We now go straight to God through Jesus Christ. Now, that's a fence torn down that means something. I was talking the other day with Travis. He was reminding me. He said, I walked him through the building. I took the family through there. And we were talking about it. I said, yeah, the last time I was in here, I was cleaning out junk. And that was about 3 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago. And I said, yes, we were still cleaning out junk a year ago, getting ready to renovate it. And we were remarking about it. He said, yeah, and I also took down a fence that was out there. I said, yeah, the old playground behind the building, you and Kevin took down that old fence that we had up there that had been there since the beginning of the school. That was the original playground for the kids that were in the building that was out back before it was burned down. And I was saying, you know, it was kind of sorrowful to see that fence go down, because I'd spent so many hours out there playing as a kid. I can remember walking down the hallway from our K-5 room with Mrs. Gay, and we would walk down the old, it was before it had been renovated. It was just an open hallway. The two buildings were joined together with a single roof. And you walked down the hallway, went out back, turned left. There were water fountains there. And then you went out to the playground. And boy, we just thought that was the greatest thing in the world. We ate our snacks out there at the playground. I associate to this very day vanilla cookies with that playground out there. Because every day, we got the same thing every day, vanilla cookies. We prayed for chocolate, but we always got vanilla cookies. And to this day, I can smell vanilla cookies with the cream in between. That's what we got for snack. We got water, and you got cookies. And I would go out there, and I would eat by a pine tree or someplace like that. And we would get together, and we would all say, do you want to give up one of your cookies? And no, I'm not giving up my cookie, you know. And sometimes I'll give you a dollar. Well, I'll give it up then. And, you know, you give up your cookie. You held the dollar while everybody else was eating. And that was not a smart trade, by the way. That was not very good. But just a lot of memories out there. And when that fence went down, we took it down, and it's been gone now for several years, you know. I've been out there. I've metal detected that area just for fun. I found all kinds of old cars and stuff that had been buried out there in the dirt and the sand through the years, and change and things of that nature. But just a lot of memories, because I grew up here. I went to school here. And that was a fence that came down, but it needed to come down. Because now it's a parking area for all of our staff. And I can imagine, well, where would we park if we didn't have all that open air? The cars are all back there in the morning, and all the people needed a place to park. It was needful to take that fence down. The Lord God Almighty took down a fence that needed to come down. I want us to meditate on these things here that I've highlighted, and then we'll stop. Verse 12. There are key phrases, prepositional phrases, that you need to identify when you study the Bible. Here's one in verse 12. In time, everybody say it, past. In time past. The way it used to be, all right? Israel was God's chosen nation, and by the way, it still is, all right? But excluded from the covenants and excluded from the special position that Israel had were all the Gentiles. And because of that, there has been this all throughout the centuries, this constant bickering about. Isn't it amazing the demonic nature of anti-Semitism? By the way, it's creeping into churches today. It's creeping into churches today. I've been shocked at some of the articles written by pastors just lambasting Israel and things of that nature. Please understand something. Israel has never been in the land in belief. Even in the times of Old Testament, they were unbelieving. So let's just get that straight right now. People keep making a big deal. Well, the children of Israel are in the land of unbelief. They've always been in unbelief. That's why they went into captivity. Read your Bible. They've never been a believing people. That's why God had to send judgment upon them. And then they crucified the Lord. Well, if you say that in some places, you can get a jail sentence for saying something like that, that the Jews, they'll eat you alive for saying something. But that's what the Bible said. They cried, crucify him. It was the Jews. Now, the Romans were also a part of it too, so let's not write that out. The Gentiles were a part of that too. But it was the Jews that were screaming, crucify him, crucify him. So please, do not. Well, the children of Israel, they were in the land in belief back in those days. There were pockets and times of belief and revivals. But for the most part, you read the book of Judges, do you find a lot of belief there? Constant cycle. Constant cycle throughout all of the Old Testament historical narrative. Constant cycle of turning to God, turning away from God, turning to God, turning away from God. Unbelief. So let's just understand. In time past, God did not choose Israel because they were a believing people. He chose them in His sovereignty. And He put His love toward them. And they turned away from that love. They have. To this day, they've turned away from God's love. But one day, in the future, they will see the Messiah, and the book of Zechariah tells us this, they will see Him whom they have pierced. And they will cry out to Him, Jesus, Son of God, have mercy upon us. Right? In time past, the Gentiles, in the flesh, were without Christ, verse 12. They were strangers, interesting word in the Greek language, illegitimate, right? They were not children, they were not considered children of God, they were strangers. Word that was used oftentimes, the people among you, the strangers that were there. By the way, it's interesting that on the pilgrimage from England to America with the pilgrims, they said there were many strangers on board. They used Old Testament language to describe those that were unbelievers that traveled with them. Almost 50 that were considered strangers. So it's not a term that we're not unfamiliar with. Aliens, verse 12. Aliens. No legitimate ownership. They're alien. Fourthly, no hope. That's an astounding statement. that Paul makes there by the Holy Spirit of God. No hope. By the way, Israel has no hope. Apart from whom? Jesus Christ. And Paul makes that. You keep on reading in Ephesians chapter 2, and you realize it's not only you Gentiles, but us Jews who need Christ. But he's making a point here with the Gentiles about this middle wall of partition, this fence that separated us has been done away in Jesus Christ without God. The Israelites could always say what about their heritage? They were chosen of God. Israel. Think about that. El, the people of God. In their very name. When Jacob had his name changed. By the way, was Jacob a believer? Boy, he was a supplanter. He was a conniving, manipulating man. He was always trying to get one up on somebody. And he met his match in Laban. You know why those butted heads? Because they were just alike. They were just alike. But God said, you know what? I'm changing your name from Jacob, which means supplanter, deceiver, manipulator. And I'm going to give you a new name. It's Israel. All right? Prince with God. Chosen of God. Gentiles could not say that. Gentiles could not say that. Can you imagine if I went and banged on the door of Buckingham Palace? I'm Todd Brainerd. Notice the name Brainerd. You know? And because my name is Brainerd, I would like to have entrance into Buckingham Palace. I'd like to sing King Charles. And they would look at me like I had two heads, and they would bounce me out back in the driveway. So what? Your name is Brainerd. Who cares? Your name means nothing. That was us Gentiles. Before the fence was torn down. Let's look on the other side. When the fence was torn down, the middle wall of partition was broken down, verse 14. We have another phrase, but now. You've heard me say this many, many times. The word but here is a conjunction of contrast. It means it's different now. Something's happened. Something wonderful. What has happened? Now Gentiles and Jesus Christ are made near by what? The blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ not only delivers us from our sin, not only delivers us from the curse, but delivers us from the alienation that we had. Because we're Gentiles. We have been made near because of the blood. Oh, the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, that cleanses us from sin, but also gives us a new relationship. Being in the blood of Jesus Christ means that I have a new relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ that I did not have before. I was a prodigal. I was a prodigal. And He made me near. He brought me back through the blood of Jesus Christ. And isn't it wonderful that we're called joint heirs with Him because of the blood of Jesus Christ? Verse 13, we are made near by the blood. Verses 14 and 15, we are now made into one body, a brand new entity, the body of Christ. If you read on, he'll clarify and make sure that you understand that he's talking about the church. When you get to chapters 4 and 5, he calls this new organism the church. And it's during a period of time called the dispensation of grace. That's in the next chapter in the early verses. In this dispensation of grace, the Lord is pulling Jews and he's pulling Gentiles and he's bringing them on. He's taking rich and he's taking poor. He's taking male and female. And from that, he is joining together what he is calling his body on the merits, not of any of us, but solely on the merits of Jesus Christ. And this is what we call the age of grace. Grace enthroned. Grace is a word that's always been there. God has always been gracious. But now His grace is enthroned because Jesus has come. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And that's changed everything. That's why Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, there are three groups. There is Israel, there is the Gentiles, and then there's a third group that did not exist before. It's called the church. All three are listed there. Can God have three different purposes going on at the same time? We have a hard time doing two things at the same time. It plays out every day. I watch people try to drive and be on their cell phone at the same time. Yesterday, we got stuck behind a truck in the turn lane going on to Berry Hill. And the light was green, and we weren't moving. And you can see, head down. Bob! Hit the horn. Head come up. Oh! Takes off. He makes it through. The rest of us don't. All right? Distracted. I want you to know something, Christian. The blood of Jesus Christ is what secured the hope of the future. The shedding of His blood, His death on the cross, and His resurrection, which we're going to talk about next week. One body. The church is made up of Jews and Gentiles, not an entirely new organism. In this dispensation of grace. Is God done with Israel? Does God ever say in this passage that the church now is the new Israel? No, He never says that. He says there's a new entity, a new organism that has been created by Him. Wasn't prophesied before. It was made known to the Apostle Paul. Remember when he went into the desert? And God revealed to him the testimony of the dispensation of grace and the church, age and all that stuff that was not prophesied before. It was hinted at by Jesus in the book of John, the most universal of all the Gospels. We get a glimpse of the future, what's going to happen. But then we find here in verses 14 and 15 and in verse 17, a very important word, Christian. Jesus Christ secured your peace. Your peace. What does that mean? My peace with God? Yes. My peace with God? Yes. The peace of God? Yes. All aspects of peace have been secured by Jesus Christ for Jew and Gentile. And then finally, access. This sort of makes you want to jump up and start hollering. But we're not a charismatic church, so we don't want word to get out that Lynn was running up and down the aisles here jumping pews. Access to whom? God. Through whom? Jesus Christ. The glories of access. That in the middle of the night, when you get a phone call and it's a horrible, horrible situation or whatever, you can stop right there and go into the presence of God. Because you and I have access because of Jesus Christ. And I can cry to the Father through the Son, and the Holy Spirit can verbalize things that I can't verbalize to the Father in behalf of His children. Access. Before was denied, but now the fence has been torn down. Amen. What a glorious, glorious truth we find here in Ephesians chapter 2. I would encourage you, read through chapter 2, right on through chapter 5. Get the connection that Paul is making there about this glorious organism. It's a body. It's alive. It's Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ. This is the new thing. New in so many different ways. I don't have time to get into that tonight. But next week we're going to get into the tearing down of the curtain that took place at the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ died, resurrected, that curtain in the temple was ripped in half. By the way, that curtain was almost 18 inches thick. It wasn't man-torn. It was a heavy, heavy curtain. When you went up to it, it took dozens of men to move it because it was so heavy and it was rent in two. And the holy place and the Holy of Holies were now exposed. And no one died because the living sacrifice had died and had risen again. And now, again, we're going to build on this word, access has been secured because the fence was taken down. The dividing line was taken down. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for your word. We see the fences that are found in the Bible and we see the barriers. And some of them were torn down through Jesus Christ. We're so thankful for that. That which excluded, which had its purpose in the mind of God, but that purpose was accomplished through Jesus Christ and no longer needed. We're thankful for that because it affects us. It opens the door to us to salvation full and free and the wonderful grace of God. We pray, Father, that you'd work in our hearts. Lord, we're going to be going out into a community this week of people that don't know Jesus Christ. Help us to be sensitive, to tell them of others, as Brother Grover pointed out tonight, to go to that neighbor, to go to that friend, the new person that we meet, maybe standing in a long line, we have a chance to tell them about Jesus. I pray that we might take up that opportunity as ambassadors of Christ, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.